something. Oh, 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 yeah, we up to something.
What's going on, y'all? Swerve City Podcast. We back. I've been on the road for a week and a half. Got sick, got a cold, but I'm recovering with some nice herbal tea, y'all. Ooh.
Premium.
Sip it. It tastes good. Ginseng. Anyway, what's going on, y'all? At the time you're watching this, listening to this, however you're doing this thing, I just recovered from Wrestle Dream. Big victory in my hometown, Seattle, Washington, versus Hangman Page. What a battle I had. That boy is rough, tough, and he's lived up to everything that I expected in his name, Hangman Page, former AEW World Champion, former AEW World Tag Team Champion. That boy deserves everything he's gotten, but it's mine now. I took his spot. I've already got my AEW World Tag Team Championship, just like Hangman Page. The only thing I'm missing is the AEW World Championship, and I am chasing it, and by the time I get it, I'll be the first black AEW World Champion.
You heard it here
first. Manifesting in 2024.
History is about to be made.
But Obi, within that time, we've also shot music videos out there. We shot the Big Pressure music video that is going viral everywhere on TikTok. So it's only right that Nana, Flash Garments, myself, team up and make a music video for y'all. And that's what we did over this weekend. So in a week, maybe. Actually, I'm not even going to give a timetable. When we feel like giving it to the world, we're going to show y'all. But in the meantime, we're going to have my man Flash Garments, Guy Da Silva, here talk about it. Sheesh. Talk about the Big Pressure video and what's going on in their careers and their lives, what keeping them busy, because these are some big heavy hitters in the media world right now. What's going on, y'all?
What's good, bro?
Don't be so bashful, bro. This man, no, this is a too humble of an individual for the resume that he has. It is a big deal. Talk about it. Just run it. Just run it.
Yo, what's up,
before
guys?
We do it for you.
Man. I'm not big on talking myself, but it's about time I do it.
Let's do it, man. Come on.
My name is Guy Da Silva Green. I am known for doing stunts in some of your favorite Marvel films, some of your favorite action movies altogether. I've been Black Panther stunt double, so the first time you've seen Black Panther, that was me. I've been a Transformer, a couple of them, actually. We can talk Bumblebee. We can talk Galvatron. We can talk Optimus Prime. We can talk about the Ninja Turtles. I was Leonardo. I got to don the blue.
Preach.
You know, I got to be
Head
the
Turtle.
Black Ranger.
In, Preach.
You know, the Joseph Kahn Power Rangers that you've seen on YouTube.
I love those. Love those iterations.
You know, I've done some live action anime stuff as Backtrack. I've worked on some video games like Call of Duty, Halo, and Starfield, which is out right now. If you haven't gotten it, you should jump on that.
Get your Starfield.
You know,
Starfield.
Playing third person, you see me. That's me walking around. That's me shooting. That's me ducking, jumping, driving, dying, all that stuff. So, I mean, that's where I'm at in terms of what I've done. Where I'm going is, I can't wait for y'all to find out. And I'm one of Swerve's homies, one of his confidants. You know, we thick as thieves, and this is my twin. You know, we light skin. So.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah. Stand on that.
And a lot of the new maneuvers that you see me using, the techniques, the combat that I've been using in the ring lately has been from this man right here.
Oh, man. That's
taught
big.
Me some transitions. So, Wrestle Dream, you see that capoeira move? I got it from this guy right here.
Yeah.
So, this is the guy that is getting me to the next level in ring. Because there's a lot of stuff that I'm not, like I said, I don't study wrestling anymore. I study people. Mm. So, I study this
that's
man dope. Right here.
Hey, Mars. That's huge. You know? And I'm just happy that I could be of inspiration towards that.
Man, you're an inspiration to a lot of people. And after y'all watch this episode, hope it inspires you.
Yeah, 100%.
Chase these career paths, all three of them. Flash, go ahead.
Yo,
talk about yourself.
Talk about it, baby.
What you been doing? What you got?
I mean, I pretty much, y'all probably know me by now. You know, I'm with Swerve everywhere at this point. I'm Flash Garments. I mean, I grew up, you know, in the Bronx, New York. Love hip hop, love wrestling, love video games, love basically just the blurred environment. I love all of that stuff. And me and Swerve got together fresh off of the Kanye West calamity, Donda 2 vibes, went to the Grammys together. We did a lot of stuff, and then we got together and made the song you guys love, showing all the love, doing the dance and all of that. I love to see it. It makes me feel really good. And we just love all the fire. Like, I mean, performing at Wembley was like the craziest thing easily that I've ever done in my life.
For sure.
And
for
sure. I felt like Spartacus.
Now, we got to add a new thing to your name. It's Prophet, the Prophet. Flash garments.
You know what's crazy? Like, we've been, he's been like talking to me for ever since I debuted in AEW that, like, yo, I gotta wrap your entrance. I was like, now's not the time. Facts. Especially when I was the AEW tag champion at the time. He's like, now's not the time. He's like, well, all right, this is the one. Double nothing. Nah, that's not it. All right, full gear. Nah, that ain't it either. He's like, all right, then you gotta have me come out of Revolution. Nah, that's not it. Then All In got announced. Ooh. All In got announced. Then I was doing my solo thing, and it was like coming up with that's by the time we got shout out Mike Manzuri. Mike Manzuri came to the company by the time, and me and Mike Manzuri, we've been buddies ever since like me doing SmackDown and 205 Live for a while. So he's always been a fan of mine, and good, great production mind to the business. And I was like, hey, Mike, I got an idea for an entrance. And he's like, oh, word? What do you got? I was like, Flash Garments. Wraps me out. And DJ Who Could will be there overseas. He's like, I don't see a problem there. And sure enough,
made world history.
I was like, the biggest crowd we could have ever asked for.
Ever.
And that's the beauty of being patient on the right time in wrestling. The beauty about pro wrestling is timing is everything.
Yeah,
it took a while to learn that, man. It's like timing is everything with the moves, the bookings, the buildings, the city, the song, the attire, the move, like the opponent, the feeling, the crowd, of it has to culminate with like the stars aligning on timing. And it couldn't align better at that time in Wembley, bro, in London.
It's breathtaking, man. I know people at home. I see people like, you know, in the Texas and like the TikToks. And you remember I've been sharing like how we made it and how we did that stuff. Everyone asked the same question, like, how did it feel? And I'm just like, yeah, like, what do you want me to say? I felt like 300. I felt like we was the last. I felt like a gladiator. Like, you can't even express it. Like, you can't hear anything. Like, I remember we was talking to Sting about how you can't, like, he was just talking about how dropping in, he was like, the sound travels up. So if you're in a helicopter coming in, sound travels up. You hear the sound, but as you're going into the,
it becomes
quiet.
Yeah.
In the middle of the ring, it's like quiet. So that was strange that it was like that. Because as we were walking out, and then did you think we was going to get that type of pyro? That was crazy. I said, yo, Swerve, I need some pyro. He said, all right, we'll get some. I'm thinking it's going to be a pow.
Bro, it's funny. I didn't want to be a nuisance because I already got my peoples in there rapping the song. So I was like, can we get a little bit of pyro? So I was expecting like a peep.
Nah, that was the Wizard of Oz. I was expecting a
sparkler. No, they said, boom. I was like, oh, we got dragons in this bitch.
Yeah.
Oh,
my crazy. God. And it was nonstop. Oh. Meanwhile, the guy in the back, he's like, bruv, you know how much that costs every hit? He's like, that's 2,000 pounds per hit. I'm like, per machine? He's like, yeah, per fire.
And they were dope.
So y'all could count how many fires that was.
That's still not as much as it getting Metallica.
Oh, yeah, facts.
Right.
To get Metallica. Yeah, facts.
And We Will Rock You from Soraya.
Right.
From Queen.
Oh, my God.
So just that, like, so at that point, a little bit of 2,000 pounds per pyro hit. Yeah. It's just pennies on the dollar.
We was low key like third in the running though for the most expensive entrance.
Maybe because Jericho had the live entrance as well.
Yep. Yeah.
The main event had a lot of stuff too because like MJF had all the girls, the models.
Oh yeah, he had like the whole team carrying him out on the throne.
But I don't think that one was so pricey. Mm-hmm. But we just. That pyro hits, maybe.
Those pyro hits are strong.
Yeah, I think it was up there. Well, the crowd
too.
The crowd was electric.
There's so much I had to no sell too. I had to no sell the flames. I had to no sell Nana's dancing, which everybody's like, "How do you not laugh?"
Yeah, I'm like, bro, he's right next to you, going crazy. Like,
I don't see it.
Like,
I don't
look
see
at
it.
Him. You're like, I'm.
I gotta look back on tape to like, you did that? I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
I gotta stay focused, and I'm a tunnel vision. I'm like Biker Boy's tunnel vision.
Right, but then they're asking me how long. There was like, how many times did y'all rehearse it? Because I was like, we only did that. We ran that
two, three times. Fully?
Without Nana,
too.
No, the day before we did that, right? Was that the same? No, that was the same day.
That was the day before. No, that was the day before.
It was?
Yeah, that was the day before. We didn't rehearse at all the day.
Oh, yeah, we just popped up there.
Yeah.
And then people tried to fry me on the internet. They were like, yo, why were you off time? Like, you didn't know the words? I'm like, bro, Do you not understand that the moment I went out there, as soon as that fire hit, my in-ear just cut off?
It got melted?
Like, I had two in-ears on at the same right. time. It didn't get melted. We wasn't that close. You didn't see the whole crew in the video? Yeah. The whole crew ran out of the way before the pyro started.
Like, that was like, y'all gotta understand, that was a whole crew. That was a big production. That was a bigger production crew that we usually use. It has to, like, double in size.
The stadium.
Right. It's Wembley. Right. Like, you had the NFL football cam going over us during the entrance. You had the jibs over there. Mm-hmm. Then you had, like, it was so much going on. So just the fact that the mic even worked is magic.
Yeah, but when it cut off, I was like, how do I get out of this? Like, because I knew in my mind, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, Swerve is like, what the f- is going on right now? When it went off, because it went off, I'm like, we rehearsed this 3 times. It was flawless. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was excellent. On time, flawless. But when that flame happened, when I jumped up, if y'all watched the video and recap it, I jumped up, put my leg up, and then I took my in-ear out mid-dance. That's why I was on time while we was going down the thing. Man. Just that's the first time y'all finally getting the answer. They've been wanting to know why it was off. Did we not know?
But
he
got back on with like 2 seconds later.
Right.
It's like, Jesus,
they God, just be looking. They be looking for anything to fry.
And we the only hip-hop act on the show besides Acclaim. So like,
right.
Facts.
Like, give us a little, you know, celebrate 50 years of hip-hop. Give us something.
Yeah, right. 50 years of hip-hop. We gave y'all real hip-hop rocking. That was rock and roll and hip-hop legend. Together. We're the real hip-hop legend. Mixtape legend,
right?
And we got to go see after the show. Got to hang out with Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh yeah, that was so crazy.
Like,
yeah, that's fabulous, an inside. They didn't even know about that.
Fabulous individual.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we did. Well, you know Dan. You work with So like, man, fabulous individual. He was awesome. Like,
we ate jerk chicken with him.
Oh, y'all had jerk chicken.
Yeah, probably the best jerk chicken.
Oh, they took it to the spa. Right?
No. He had a private party where he bought all the chefs to cook the jerk chicken.
Oh, as, yeah, and corn, like just grilling corn, like as like the party's going, and it was like a lot of people there. It was rooftop.
It was
all
a vibe. Rooftop.
It was an awesome vibe, man. And then just showing them like, "Oh, this is what we did tonight. We come from Wembley." He's like, "Word, mate. Oh, we got to get a photo." I was like, "Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya, mark it out."
I always wanted to ask you this because I didn't even ask you after that. When you said whose house in there, how did it feel when you got that reaction?
Man, going back to like 2014, mm-hmm. I was over in the UK all the time. I did my first tour of Germany and then the UK, and that's where I became real good friends with a lot of guys over there, like Will Ospreay, Pete Dunne, Mark Andrews. Shout out all them guys. Love them to death. And I started doing like a lot of them shows. And then ever since then, like, pretty much every month, 2015, and every month, I was just over in the UK every month, man. That's like, sick. I was doing so much. Progress brought me in. My first match in Progress was against Ospreay.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, he requested me.
That's
tight. Yeah, so we've been boys ever since then. And so, honestly, having him, like, just be like, boom, that's my guy. And then coming over, and he was still, like, 23 at the time, 22. And, then doing shout out to Southside Wrestling. They they had a lot of crazy cards. WXW Germany was bringing me over a lot. And so my name recognition in the UK was pretty big for like 8 years practically. So they've been doing Whose House, Swerve's House since like 2015. Because the first Defy show was 2015.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe it was like the second or third match I had in Defy was against Leo Rush.
Mm. Wow.
And
shout out to Leo.
Yeah, in that match, we did our opening sequence or whatever, and then somebody said something. I said, no, this is Swerve's house. And then it was like, whose house? Swerve's house. And it started then. And then it just, ooh. So that, I took that over into the UK, and it just took off.
Right.
So doing that at Wembley, I think a lot of those fans who know who I was, they just kind of like, they had always been locked in as far as like DNA when it comes to like resonating with myself.
So there was hype to finally all be in one building together, all in one place.
Yeah, and it was also for me to make my claim and make my statement why I'm on this card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, oh, Swerve's here. Like, okay, Swerve's a good wrestler, but like, why is he here on this stacked card? We could have had like I said, we have a super stacked roster.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Why do you deserve that spot? Right. So that was me to be like, whose house? Swerve's house, 80,000 people.
That was
saying,
like,
that's why I'm here.
That's why.
No, that was the people's champ move. Was the people's champ.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of momentum shift. Just whoa, okay, hear this, we see this, we feel that.
Right,
it's like okay, we need to start watching this guy more And then I got put in the coffin. Dread's hanging out.
But still, still, we want that fade. We need to run that back. Mainly because there was like, bro, it doesn't matter. I'm like, bro, Sting's bat was outside of it. So how if Sting's bat could come out? Remember they said body part.
But me going in that coffin, taking that loss,
the truth, like,
is honestly what made me who I am.
Right.
It changed something in me to go on to face Hangman Page and prepare for that.
True.
Now people feel what I am.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And like it's almost like, oh, like I remember back in the day, like when guys used to take a loss or something happened with them, they would come back weeks or months later, like a totally something's off, something's different about them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to take Sting's influence on beating me and putting me in a coffin into the next
phase of the rebirth.
Yeah.
It's basically the rebirth. Yeah. Shout out to Eric Bellinger. Real rebirth team,
you know,
type energy.
You know, yeah. So it took me into that realm. You know. Talk about doing the same with a character.
Yeah.
Pretty much when you're portraying the roles that you're playing, mm-hmm. you're pretty much you're portraying something that's already like an adaptation on a comic, usually.
Right. True. Yeah.
You know, it's always like
it's already something that's already been created.
Yeah, it's been created.
Right.
But then you still have ways to make like a Ryan Reynolds made Deadpool his own,
right?
Even though we've been pretty much
accustomed to
him for years.
But somehow it's him. It's like
somehow
it
that's his makes now.
So much sense,
right? He kind of like
Robert Downey Jr. with Tony Stark,
right?
You can't
like
see anyone else ever be him,
because Tony Stark, we know from if we watch the cartoons and the shows and the comics, he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. Tony Stark's like pretty big in
like
stature.
He's like six something.
Yeah,
but Robert Downey Jr. is not.
It's like no, he's not. He's like he's like actually one of the smallest Avengers. Yeah, you see him in lineup. Exactly. But it was like this works so well.
It does,
and so like portraying the character and the movements, how do you make that your own?
So like, of course you want to pay homage to the source material, right?
For sure.
So like, for instance, I'll look at source material of Black Panther per se. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna read the comics. I'm gonna look at what they did in some cartoon iterations where they introduced them. I'm gonna look at whatever video games might have them. But then I'm gonna take the things that I love.
Right.
Right. So I'm a big Dragon Ball Z nerd and I love Dragon Ball. So right. I looked at things like Yamcha's Wolfang Fist.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, I like this stance. I like the way how he hits this certain pose. And we know that the biggest things that I've learned from my dance career before I became stunts, which y'all probably don't even know about. Mm-hmm. I used to dance behind Chris Brown. Mm-hmm. So I learned
from
you.
Yes. What's the chances that he becomes a transformer for real?
From
and he, and, right. and he's doing the Transformia
and that's actually
my first video
with Chris. I can transform you.
Really? Yeah. I gotta watch that
so
video.
I'm the ninja with him when he So me and him just messing around, we choreographed that together and within an hour.
What?
And
did
it. The more you find out, only on Swerve's podcast.
So I learned through the dance.
This is a clip. You gotta make this the clip. You gotta make this the clip.
So I learned from like the dance world, like it's about transitioning through pictures, right?
Ooh, okay.
So everything is a picture.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when you do your stomp, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we want to see the poster, it's the guy sitting up and it's you with your knees tucked about to stomp this guy out. The next picture is your feet
extending
hitting his chest and stepping through.
Pushing them back.
We want that to look as smooth as possible.
Right.
So what I'm doing is I'm taking all these different things and making them smooth and come together.
Right.
So I'm using this Black Panther attack that I've seen in a comic book, a pose or a picture that they've taken, and I'm taking the movement I saw from Yamcha from Dragon Ball, mm-hmm. I'm combining those two and finding how I can make those two mesh.
Right.
So I'm taking parts of me, the things that inspire me, with the things that they want. And that's how I build a character up. And then I take personality into an athlete.
And the seamless movement of dance that
you
add.
So it's like, where is this character's mindset? What is who is he as a person? So like, there's a thing that you guys see Black T'Challa do when he finally gets his hands on the Winter Soldier, and he's on the knee and he scrapes his claws across the ground.
Mm-hmm. Very iconic.
I thought of that because he is royalty. Why would he ever put his knee down in front of another man, especially the person that
he's trying to destroy at that time? Yeah, he's
so
trying to destroy.
This
him.
Is the let's go moment. This is I'm making the line that you cross, and now I'm gonna step over, and now we have to fight. Mm-hmm. So I took those kind of ideas and those mindsets, those little pieces, and then I just mold them in. You let the things affect you, and that's how we are as humans. Right. We have these moments in life, and those moments change us. So I try to create moments in my head that will build me up to the moment that I want to be at. And so that will dictate my movement. That will dictate how I present myself, how I stand, how I walk, what my intention is when I'm going at people. We had a back and forth when we were creating the fight sequences, because there's a whole bunch of fights that you guys don't see in the movie.
Oh, I believe it.
Right? The splash panel fight, which is the big airport fight scene.
Mm-hmm. My favorite top five
45 fight minutes sequence. Long without a cut, before they chopped it down.
45 minutes long?
45 minutes long, because it's everybody getting
that's a third of the movie.
Right. Right. Crazy. There's a whole fight with Captain America fighting War Machine, Black Panther, and Black Widow at the same time.
What? So you guys don't get to see. We're finding out the craziest right there's now. He's never told me this, and I'm with this dude every day.
There's an even longer fight between Hawkeye and Black Panther that you guys don't get to see.
Oh, black on black.
Right. There's an even longer fight between Winter Soldier and Black Panther that you guys don't even
get to see. I believe that.
So it's extended. There's all these extended fights that we have.
Oh, my God.
And to try to get off as many moves as you possibly can, right, to make an effect, because everybody has to get off.
Yes.
Everybody, you have to.
It's almost like in wrestling, there's like 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
When you have like eight man tags.
Right.
It's like everybody has to get off into some way, and you get like, all right, if you calculate, there's like 30 seconds.
And you have to make everybody look good. Everybody has to look good. And that's like the biggest thing about being a stunt performer that I came to learn at that age. I was 25 when I did this.
Right.
24, turning 25 when I got Black Panther. So I'm a young kid, and I'm kind of new to the stunt game. I've been in the stunt game for maybe like 4 years, 5 years prior to that.
Right, right.
I learned that my job is to make the guy in front of me that I'm working with look good, especially when it comes to the actor.
Oh, yeah.
I have to make the actor look good. And then when it came to that film, it was about Black Panther making all the other superheroes look good. And so
Based off of that film.
And that's tricky because this is the introduction of the Black Panther. Exactly. So at the same time, he has to shine and like show why he's
one of the still cool kind of play the background though. He still had to play the background because you can't bury the Avengers.
Yeah. Right, right. Like we've seen Iron Man for like 6 movies about that time.
Exactly.
Right. We've seen
Captain America for 4. We've seen the only person we didn't have in there was Thor. We have Ant-Man in there. Yep.
Black Widow in there?
Black Widow was
in a movie.
No.
The only thing we seen was Ultron to that.
But she was in that as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, we're trying to make sure that, one, these guys are all going to end up working together at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do that kind of stuff. We can't overdo stuff. So I was like, okay, well, how about this? I know you guys really want me to do the claws. You like really like me doing the claw stuff with Black Panther.
And that's the thing that stands out, but opposed to every other character. Exactly. You have the claws. Exactly. That's your thing.
So it changes how I throw punches, how I throw kicks, like what my intention is. So
and the claws is vibranium.
Right. Exactly. So I'm like, all right, listen, guys, how about this? How about I only use the claws when I'm going after Winter Soldier? Because that's killing intention.
Right. He's the only one that had the rage.
So let's do the kicks for everybody else. Yeah. Let me throw kicks. Let me throw, try to do some grappling stuff, some like palm strikes or taking some Puma style martial arts or some sort of kung fu to add into there.
Right.
But then when it comes to Winter Soldier, we see a change in the character.
Yeah.
And that's the claws. And so trying to make use of the weapons we have, right?
That's beautiful.
So that's how
it's also like the powers too. Like certain powers were used, like Iron Man wasn't using like the beams and stuff on certain people. Mm-hmm. It was just, I just need to neutralize you and keep you down. But like,
we're all friends at the end of the day.
That's just showing that he didn't want to really, he used it a little bit when he was fighting against Captain America.
But when it got down to the three, Bucky, Captain America, and Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, they stopped that.
Then it was like, okay, this is survival at this point. I have to use this because if not, I'm dead.
Exactly. So
there's a lot of psychology in that stuff too, which, once again, I started studying those things to add into my matches as well. It's like, okay, what if like, this isn't just wrestling. This is like survival.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and how do I put this person in survival mode? What changes about this match with my opponent that is different about wrestling me compared to wrestling this guy, wrestling right. this guy. He has right. to do this with me, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to do this. I have to go these lengths with him.
Right.
Because we're in this grudge together. You know, this, like, and that's what I said, is you study people because right. I feel a different way about him. He feels a different way about me. Mm-hmm. So-and-so feels a different way about so-and-so.
Right.
And therefore, the matches should be different. They shouldn't right. all be the same.
Yeah. Not every fight's going to be a grudge fight. Sometimes
no.
Sometimes it's just like, yo, you're just in my way.
Yeah.
Other times it's like, it's personal.
Exactly.
And that changes how you enter and how you leave.
Truth.
And that's what gives you the triumph, too. Like, we get to feel the triumph when that happens. You get to feel it. Like, I want to feel something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
stuff can't be... I'm just tired of looking at stuff that has no feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's watered
truth.
Down.
Truth.
You know?
And that comes with a lot of content.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When there's a lot of content, it's hard to build grudges when everybody's on screen.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So...
Again, I mean, after meeting you, I ended up... So, you got me to my first live event. I've never been to a wrestling event live. Like, I was a big wrestling nerd growing up. I loved The Rock. I loved the Hardy Boys. Like, any kid that grew up in the 90s to the early 2000s mm-hmm. knows about the Attitude Era and loved the Attitude mm-hmm. Era, right? They followed all that stuff. I was one of those kids. I got in trouble in elementary school for showing a kid how to do the backbreaker properly. I got a lot of trouble for that. I was like, I was just showing him the move. Like, why am I in trouble? You know, I've taken a choke slam onto tile before and realized that that's not fun. I've done all those things and I've always thought about like, wow, like this would be something really cool to be a part of and do.
Right.
And I ended up after linking with you, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go and figure out who should I go to find out who can show me what pro wrestling is.
Right.
And teach me the right ways. And I met Rikishi, and he was showing me the commonalities, the common ground of being a stunt performer and being a pro wrestler.
Yeah, there's
a
lot
difference.
Of
difference. There's a lot of difference.
Major.
There's
major.
A lot. There's
parallels.
There's
a lot.
Parallels. There's, yeah. there's we're like cousins.
Very much so. I was talking about that earlier in an interview I've done. A lot of times we tried to compare it to like how much the music compares to it as well. What did I learn from music to wrestling? So like Flash, I wanted to go with you on that. With all the years of doing music, like music is truly in your blood
mm-hmm.
from the birth,
yeah.
you know,
DNA
to like going to the peak of this with not just performing at Wembley, but being in studios and writing with some of the biggest names in hip hop today mm-hmm. and stuff. What are the parallels you're noticing in wrestling, in the music, and the patterns and the rhythms?
I feel like it's all beats. It's like I've learned a lot because you brought me to that hardcore match. Remember, you got me back into it. I didn't know anything about this.
People back into
not
it.
Because he
I,
wasn't.
I, I'm a team builder. Bro.
Yeah, it was. This is pre AEW signing. Like he brought me. He was getting ready to sign, and he was just like, "You got to see this." Like the whole feeling thing. He was like, "You need to come to this, and you need to see what this is about first before you." Any music or anything mm-hmm. with me. So we get there and he's like, yo, I got a surprise for you. So I'm like, come on. I wonder what he has. I get there, bro, and it's X-Pac, and I'm like, you're shitting me right now. Not the dude that got me in trouble my whole entire life.
Himself. That's my guy.
I told everyone to suck it in my school. And my mom would come to school and be like, yo, what the fuck is your problem?
Why do you keep doing this?
And she's like, say sorry. I'm like, no. Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to kill you in front of these people.
Arbitrary things.
Yeah. And then when I'm watching these things, I'm like, Swerve, this is like some hardcore, like people getting lit on fire, glass, all of that stuff. He's like, bro, I used to do all of this, bro. Like showing me the scars on his back. I'm like, wow. Like I'm seeing how it feels, the music and all of that stuff. And I'm like, I've always loved hip hop, like, period, separate with my uncle and stuff like that. Rest in peace, love Bug Starsky. I've always, you know, hip hop's pioneer. He gave us our name. He coined the phrase hip hop, my uncle. It's the said and done, it's end of proof, mm-hmm. proclamation, all of that stuff.
Right.
And I see the passion of me as a kid was me wrestling and doing moves in my house against my brother, against everybody. And then I'm like, what made me feel the way? The music made me feel the way. And I felt like it was missing when you were showing me the movements and how it was happening. It's the beat. Yep. 1-2, it's like, you know, you rap, so you know the bar placement, mm-hmm. The hook, the bridge, the importance of the hook and the bridge being there mm-hmm. pre and post.
Yep.
Right. I'm like, this is the same thing I'm looking at from behind the stage when I'm behind the scenes with you to when I'm seeing the show. And I'm just like, wow, there's definitely a hole in hip hop here. They've done it before, Run DMC has done it before with a rock hip hop crossover. But then I'm like, people were like asking me, like, why did you guys slow down the original Big Pressure? I said, because one, we want you to feel this.
Right.
I want you to feel this. They like, why did Swerve slow down his walk? I said, feel this. Enjoy this time. Mm-hmm. This motion. This is an emotion.
It's presentation.
Right. Yeah, it's presentation.
It's just different, man.
But they just be not wanting. People want to fast forward the trailer. I mean, they want to fast forward the trailers and get straight to the movie. But I'm like, there's a feeling when you're watching the Marvel movies and we get that dun, 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 dun. And then it's so the comics, and I'm just like, yes,
absolutely.
And we need that.
I was talking to, I did an interview earlier today, and they were asking me like the same thing. I was like, performing music and going to concerts. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I want my interest to feel. Like, here he goes, he's walking up, he's ready to, he's about to grab that microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Right when he grabs it, and he's like, whose house? Yes. All right, now we're here. Yeah. It's the same
approach.
Because
that's their payoff. Yeah. Yeah. Let them wait. They got to wait for the payoff, though. You don't get the instant payoff. Enjoy, bask in the time and the moment of us being here in the flesh.
Yeah.
Because you're not always going to be here. When we're doing this and giving these sound bites and giving all of these innovative things that people get to see, you know, I said this before, the day that he got signed, I said he's going to be the first champion. The first black champion, the heavyweight, the biggest boy. He's going to get that, and there's no, we're not stopping until we do.
We see it, too. It's crazy.
And everyone
I've seen your body
see
transform since I've known you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty amazing.
No, it's a champion.
It's a lot of work, bro. It's a lot of hard work, and it's also a lot of hard work just maintaining and, like, balancing all of it. Like, the podcast, you know, like, oh, snap, my boys are in town. Let's jump on this tonight. Because, like, and I just came from the gym.
Right.
Like 2 hours in the gym, and my personal trainer pushes me. I'm literally doing like thousands of reps.
Yeah.
Like thousands of reps. I'm not even joking.
And
like,
you travel, how often do you travel a week?
Every week. Like this past week, I was in like three different states, three different cities. And
we was
still,
with him. Yeah. We was with him in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then, I saw it on the AEW Instagram. We was right there.
To still maintain your body and travel around the world.
And still drop music.
Still perform.
And drop music and shoot videos.
And still like wrestle. And still, bro, like still got to work out. You know,
and I saw his workout. I went to the gym with him in Seattle. Yeah, and he was like, I did a little bit. I just can't get.
He goes and does his pull.
I do. He know
he
what
does
I go
pull do. Ups, you know.
I go and do my muscle
I'm not,
up calisthenics.
I'm never going to challenge him into this because like I'm working out for like, a whole different reason. He's working out,
right?
You know? So like I have to row 315.
It's crazy.
Just to like 10 reps just to make sure I can control it because that's another human being.
Yeah.
I'm going to be controlling in the ring. I got to control my body and my base to control another person. Mm-hmm. You know, to put them where I need them to go.
Yep. But being as big like champion size, being champion size, right, and then still being able to be agile, how you even pull that off? Like and to be able to move in the
air
agile.
That's base.
Yeah.
Controlling my core is big, huge. That's what has me swivel and transition and like be able to like get in position on the timing, like boom, turn, he's there.
Right.
You know, just that is like a core movement.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I have to be able to deadlift 500 pounds.
Right.
Like my highest deadlift is 615.
You still got to be able to pick your hand over your arm.
Over your arm.
And that's also like flexibility, learning that, you know, but also strengthening my shoulders, making sure my elbows and joints aren't hurt. You know, there's remedies to this too.
Right.
You know, like my biceps. You also have to have the look.
Right.
So you got to work out for the work, but you have to work out to look the right way too. You know, so I'm constantly maneuvering, changing, adapting. Okay, I got to adjust this. Okay, this is where I need to go. Okay, this person's like right now, like Christian's like one of the biggest heels in the business right now.
Yeah.
Like so across like every art form of pro wrestling, he's like one of the top guys.
Yep.
I got to transition and adapt with him as well to make sure we're doing two different types of personas on television.
Right.
You know, like and he does the same with me. He makes sure, like, we're not crossing each other's lanes.
Right.
So, like, I'm using different verbiage. I'm talking in a different tone. He talks in a different tone.
Right.
I have a different type of attire. He has a different type of attire. And that's, like, just that alone is major for myself in the position to, like, a legend like that is, like, transitioning for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Like, I'm slated as we're the two top heels in the entire company.
Right. Right.
You know?
And I feel like, but I feel like the era you in right now, bro, it's like, Puff would say, like, you, I feel like you in your love era. It's like your hate to love era. You hate to love it. You got to love it.
But I saw something today. I'm still not done. I'm still not done transitioning. I'm still not done adapting and evolving.
Right. To the main. You're not even in your final form yet. It's not even
turned 34 years old. Yeah. Christian is like late 40s and stuff. And, you know.
He's showing us a whole new form.
He's showing a whole nother range. Yeah. He's showing another extension. Yeah. Sting, 60 years old, showing another extension.
Super cool.
So, like, those guys are never going to stop. Like, Jericho showing another extension. Right. Yeah. These guys are never going to stop. So, like, people are like, yo, you finally made it. No, I didn't.
No, I didn't. Yeah,
this is
you're seeing me warm up right now.
Yeah, like, you're just seeing me.
Right.
You're just like, it's just like, y'all finally see it.
Right.
Like, in unison. It's not like, oh, I see it. I don't know what he's talking about. It's but not it like here. Good, now it's bro. Like here. Right. I'm here. I've arrived.
I watched that media scrum and I seen all of them just giving the flowers. The flowers is the that key, man. That's great. What I live for. That's what makes you. I know that's what it's about, bro. I think that's that's the goal.
Yeah,
is to get the flowers from your peers.
And like what I'm most proud of that week was like on Dynamite, you had Brian Cage face off against Claudio and Nick Jackson in a three way. Then you had on Collision on Saturday, you had Toa and Khan face Kenny Omega and Jericho.
Crazy.
That was a fun match.
Yeah, which it was excellent. Crazy. Killed it was excellent.
You know, and in win or loss, those guys are presented.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're being presented with big name top of the food chain guys in our company in the business. And then you have me and Hangman, a former AEW World Champion at the pay-per-view on singles. This is my first singles pay-per-view match. Everything else has been tag teams.
Complete body.
And Battle Royals.
Right.
Which is so,
crazy. Which is crazy because it's like, a body. I was like, Swerve just became a face in Seattle.
Nah, that was that was a body.
Yo, they love,
in the crib. In his crib, though. That's how it's supposed to happen.
That's how it's supposed to be.
But even still with that, I'm still Swerve. Yeah. I'm still like trying to do the nastiest, meanest things to get my victory. You know, who would you say is like one of the people that you got your roses from where you was like, okay, like
in music or like to be
both, honestly, even in life.
Yeah. In music, I would say my roses came from, if you want to say, we'll go old school. It'll probably be, the one that I looked up to the most was like Curtis Blow. Like that. I got roses from him. I've gotten roses from Dougie Fresh. I've gotten roses from the man himself, Mr. Def Jam himself. You know who that is?
Oh yeah, that's tight.
Yeah,
that's really tight.
So and then with wrestling, it just happened that I've always loved this dude since I was a kid, and because of Swerve, we're in backstage. Swerve says, "Hey, look who's here." Sting's right there, and he says, "I love this guy," and it gave me a big hug, and I was like, "This is crazy! My action figure is picking me up right now. Like I'm about to lose it out here. I'm about to lose it. Like that moment, I was gonna lose it.
Yeah.
And I never not lost it. Like, but when I'm chilling with you, I'm just like everything is just like, hey, what's up?
What about
then?
I
was like,
industries.
I'm all industries. I'd say because you crossed over. Like,
yeah, he's
three,
like
four,
he's in seven different dimensions right now.
I would say one of the biggest ones because I grew up watching him, Jamie Foxx.
That's so sick.
Jamie Foxx let All-star. Me know I was dope. And he That's kept reminding awesome. Me that I was dope. And I was like, but you're the dope. You're the GOAT.
Yeah, you're the dope. Right.
Like,
three generations now.
All that's the time. That was my dude, right?
Yeah. But that's Django. I know you was like, Django?
Oh, my God.
I'm dope?
Yeah.
Bro, to get that and the...
Django's in my hallway.
And the reason... Yeah, right. Yeah. And the reason why that was so big was because I had people hating on me on that same production. And he was like, you're dope. It was one of the hardest things I've ever dealt with because here I am with my hero and I'm having people that brought me on upset about me being dope around my hero. And my hero's like, no, you keep being dope. You're dope. I'm following what you want to do. You're good.
Which movie was that?
This was Project Power.
Yeah, Project Power was actually a really dope film.
That was really, so Jamie Foxx.
I like that in the vampire movie he did.
Yo.
That was a fun movie. That was really fun. With Snoop at the end.
Yeah.
Fun movie. What? Very enjoyable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to my sis Megan Good. She smashed that.
That was a good movie, bro. Yeah. I enjoyed that movie so much.
Then I got Chris Evans. Chris Evans was going around telling people how talented I am. And I was
Chris
like,
Evans.
That was dope.
Captain America, by the way.
Yeah.
You know. And then Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson came up to you one day.
I hate you for that.
She called me the light of her day. I was like, oh. Man. She's like, you're so
like,
amazing.
I know you was like.
Nah. Still to this.
You know you was. He's going to fall out.
Yo.
Still to this day, I would say Man, I'm trying to think of the match I sent him. I can't remember what match I sent him. Maybe it was I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I know. I feel like I got two.
There's three roses I got in the last 3 years that I was like, actually, I could say four. I remember all these. There was like levels to it. There was levels, and they just like, okay, cool. And then I got the next level, the next level. So the first one, I'll go in chronological order. My first one, I wrestled Davey Richards at Defy. It was for we did the tournament, yeah. And me and him came to the finals of whoever was going to be the first Defy world champion in the finals and stuff. And then Davey, we did this angle where Davey hurt me in the night before and stuff. And like, then the start of the match, he like gave me a brainbuster on this pile of chairs on the floor.
Yo,
the match continued.
Y'all are crazy.
You don't know. He takes the craziest bumps. This guy is out of control. Yeah, between him and Darby is the goats for bumps.
No, Darby got me beat by far. I've gotten my body splintered and scarred more than Darby's has.
For sure.
But the first one was Davey Richards, and he did the leg lock on me, and I passed out from the pain.
Yep.
Boom, and he like crawls over and he's like, "You're gonna be a millionaire one day," and then goes up, leaves, and just gets the belt, and raises the belt, and I just stayed passed out, and I was like, "You did Davey Richards." This is like Davey Richards, like y'all don't know, y'all had to be there when Ring of Honor, the prime of Ring of Honor, when he was world champion, him and Seth Rollins Tyler Black, Kevin Owens, Eddie Edwards. Like, Nigel McGuinness, Bryan Danielson, he was killing it. He was the best wrestler in the world, bar none at that time. And so going up against him, I guess, like, you know, for that belt right there.
Yep.
Like,
that's crazy.
It meant everything to me. And that's where I knew, like, key things. I was like, okay, I'm on the right path.
Right.
And then the next one, I was in the PC, and I get Stern Talking To's by Matt Bloom here every once in a while. Albert, A-Train, whoever you want. Like, he was on my ass for, like, that first six, maybe a year. Six months to a year. He was on my ass. Stern Talking To, you did this, yada, yada. But then, like, we had this one talk, and like, we did, like, these PC matches. And then, like, after the PC match, whatever, like, he was like, honestly, he's like, you're, like, you're as good as Randy Orton. That's who I see. Like, you're just as good as Randy Orton, if not better. And I was like, whoa. That was like huge.
Yeah.
Because this guy has like, at that time, this is already past the gold era of black and gold NXT. He's seen everybody. Andrade's.
Right.
Like Finn came through at that time. Finn was the champion at that time, actually. And he was telling me that. And I was like, this is a dude who's on my ass.
Right.
For like daily. In that place, but he gave me that, and I was like, okay, I'm on the right path.
Right.
Then I did a 205 live match. This is a COVID era. I did a 205 match. This is my first time telling these stories on air too.
No, it's going to be a very rare interview when we pull up over here.
Yeah. And I wrestled Jack Gallagher.
Okay.
And we put a fun match together too. It was lengthy too. It was like 16 minutes. In 205, we don't have commercials. So
it's jeez.
Great 16. And we're just like, boom, boom. We're doing our thing. We're gelling, doing the thing, boom, 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 boom. And, like, match was over. I come to the back. Heyman was sitting there eating while watching the monitor. He was like, I love that finish. I love that. I legit thought I bought that false finish. I love that. I loved it. And ever since then, we exchanged numbers.
That's amazing.
And been great with him. And then I had a match. It might have been one of the and Leon Ruff matches. It was either that one or me and Bronson in NXT. And I called this man, Edge, or Adam Copeland.
Adam.
I send him the match. I wait a day. He's like, oh, let me get on the phone with you. We talked for like 30 minutes dissecting this thing.
Sheesh.
And he's like, maybe if it held this a little longer, but yada, yada, yada. But the way you come back to certain things with the psychology and keep the story thread all the way through, it reminds me of watching Bret Hart. And he was like, that's the feel I get watching your matches. It's
the best there is.
And yeah, I was like, man. What?
That's amazing.
So those are my four, like, hats off roses that I've gotten from some of the greatest to ever do this.
That's amazing.
On three different levels, too.
Yeah.
You know, jeez. Someone who's seen a lot of talent, someone who's is the talent. Greatest talent, and someone who, like, literally, like, coaches a lot of the great talent.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, so that was major for me. That's so and that's the kind of stuff that keeps me driving, mm-hmm. continuing. I know what I'm doing is right,
right,
and I stick with it, no matter what people are criticizing me for and saying this and saying that. I should mm-hmm. do this. I should. I'm like, no, I'm here for a reason.
Yeah,
this is my position, and I'm holding it because I know what I'm doing, and I'm right. damn good at it. Right. And there's no problem saying that to the world.
Right.
And the people that are in control and the people that are the kings of it are saying it.
They say the same
that
thing.
That you're doing the right thing.
But
you're
they
on
say
the, right
the
path,
same thing
so.
About themselves.
Right. Right.
Like, and there's something interesting, like how they criticize certain people saying things, but they boost up other people saying the same things about mm-hmm. themselves. It's right. very interesting, and I pay attention to that. There's, I keep a sharp eye on, self-praise is not a bad thing. That's right. not ego. That's not cockiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally what you wouldn't want to pay money to see somebody who's not sure of what they're doing.
Truth.
You want to go see, pay your ticket to see someone who knows that they're the best.
Yeah, in a way, but then you have to perform at a high level. Some people
absolutely.
Take that some people take that with a grain of salt and then be talking crazy and then and it's bunk. Like you finally get to see him, you're like, right. is this what you hype me up for? You can't Deion Sanders talk and then not be Deion.
But, like, I'm pretty sure, like, when you pay thousands of dollars for Taylor Swift, you know you're going to get Taylor
Correct.
Swift.
Correct. You're going to get it every time.
Yeah. But, like, with a Kanye, not a Kanye, but a Kendrick.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it.
He says, I'm the best in the world. True. I'm the best rapper alive, whatever. Then there's a lot of, what? No, he said this. What? He thinks he's the best. No, Drake Cole. Yeah, no, he ain't better than Biggie. He ain't better than Pac. Like,
no, but that's what you're supposed to. Yeah,
that.
This is what you're supposed to say. This is a competitive sport. But we're in all of this is in competitive sport. Wrestling, music, mm-hmm. what Gee does, right. acting, all of that stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's all competitive.
So
and
my
I
big
think
question that I want to ask
on.
You is,
yeah, yeah,
because it was a big thing for me. How did your family take you deciding to be a pro wrestler?
My mother was my biggest supporter and she still is to this day.
Yep.
Like, my dad, he was like, oh, okay. So just make sure you get a trade and you know, fail in life, you know, stuff like that. You know, make sure
you know
you
to get a trade talk, you know, to get a trade,
like make sure you get a trade, make sure you get a license to be a plumber or some shit right. like that. You know,
just in case it fails,
get your CDL just in case it doesn't work out, you know, it's all over. I'm like, oh, thanks dad. Yeah. But, my dad's like, he supports, I brought him to SmackDown when I was on the road. I brought him to NXT when I was on the road. I haven't brought him to AEW yet, but okay. my mom has been to AEW. My mom was there when I won the North American title in NXT, that's actually. Awesome.
And your mom was there when you signed.
She was there my mom. When I came out on Revolution. Our moms were there.
That was cool.
So my mom was like, I moved down to Virginia.
Okay.
And I just came back from my military. I was like, they had a job for like maybe 3 or 4 weeks, months.
Okay.
No. Yeah, it was like had to be 6 months, and I hated working the job. I did cable, and then I transitioned to Amazon in the warehouse, like filling the trucks, like bull crap at 3 a.m. Being there at 3 a.m.
Graveyard.
I gotta work
different.
In the morning. I gotta work in the morning. Ain't nothing worse in the world than telling your friends I can't go out because I gotta work in the morning. Like, yo, we going to the spot. What you coming? No, I gotta work.
I got sleep.
I gotta work. Yeah, I gotta count my sleeps.
I gotta count
like,
my
if
sleep.
I get home, if I leave now at 10, I can get there at 10:30. I can wash up, be in the bed by 11:30.
They give me 4 hours.
They give me 4 hours. I gotta be back in the car. I gotta work in the morning.
Hey, really be feeling like that. Your body is every bit saying that too.
I'm like, oh,
your
man.
Your body's saying it.
Yeah, like I gotta count my sleep.
My boy,
hours.
Like I feel that right now.
I gotta work.
What was it like for you?
Yeah,
what when I
family?
Oh, finding out that I want to rap.
Oh,
that was out. What do you mean? My mom was like, you could do whatever you want, but not under my roof. Like, yeah, if you wanna live here, you better do something. And then when
my
I went with
same.
Yeah, but when I went with, she was like that rap. that's out. She's like, your uncle is your uncle. She sheltered me from that. I didn't know anything about that. How about that? Imagine I knew that my uncle was like a pioneer of hip hop, and I'm just getting these like these CDs. I'm getting the G-Unit CDs before anyone knew. I'm getting the Dipset before anyone knew about the Diplomats. I'm listening to it because my uncle is the DJ, the god DJ. So I'm hearing that. My brother's like, why he get all the tapes? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, man, this is hard. Like, I love like, this. Mob Deep, this is crazy. And I'm like
finding out you're a wizard, Harry.
Right. And then I'm like, but I'm like, I want to rap. And my mom was like, that's crazy. You're not rapping. Like, you better get just the same thing. You better go get yourself a trade or get out of my house. Yeah. So I'm like, all right. Well,
my mom was good with that, though. She's like, you can be in the house as long as I know where you're at.
But like, it's different. You're an athlete. When you're doing, it's like me playing football. If I was playing football, she would have been like, all right, play football, get good grades, play football. I was like, I want to rap. During that time, it was like,
you'd be surprised.
Being like, a rapper is like, nah, what you talk about? Would that's like playing video games for a living.
Would you be surprised how many people don't take pro wrestling as being an athlete? They think
that's crazy.
It's like, so, yeah, like the average person looks at it as like this carnival act,
right? Mm-hmm.
Like as a sideshow. Mm-hmm. Especially when you go to a show and you're like wrestling in a freaking, you know, I'm not doing arenas, I'm doing community centers,
right,
and like gymnasiums and like fairs. I wrestled in front of a Walmart,
right,
you know, in the parking lot, you know. So you see that and you're like, oh, this ain't taking off. Like it's easy to just like not see the vision.
Yeah, right? But that's like saying the Meek Mills of the world wasn't gonna take off when we seen them with the Braves battling. You know what I'm saying? Right, when you see that, but that's what makes your family be like, nah, you're not doing that, because it was so connected to the urban sense of things. You know what I'm saying? Drug dealing.
It's just levels to all this
stuff. You never know when you're going to make it. That's why they say when you get signed, that's like the big thing. You know what I'm saying? My mom's like, if you get signed, then you do it. But I've yet to sign a contract for any label or anything. All of this stuff has been independent, but it's through inventing certain different scenarios. Like we've been doing nonstop. Just inventing brand new things. They're never going to believe it or try to be a part of it. They try to be a part of it once we're already cooking the meal.
Right.
No one wants to like figure out how we're going to make recipes together.
I always said people want results first.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not how this works. Like,
I wish it did. Lord knows.
I wish I could get like the payoff before the grind.
Right.
Right.
But then there's no point of doing the grind.
Right.
But then you feel like nothing, though. Like, I like the hibachi. I like the dude doing the little tricks and rolling the egg down the spatula.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting, like, getting the RPG, and I'm leveled out already. What's the point of going? I don't have to go through this part and this part and this part.
Just smack the straight lines.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that's not how this works, bro. And then you really understand the people that you keep with you that were there.
Right.
On this part and this part, and you still talk to him to this day. Oh, I borrowed them $15 for gas to get to that show and stuff like that. I remember those. Man. So
but those are the best times, though. I appreciate back, those times.
It was hard for me because I had kids.
Right.
That's where the scary moment came in. How did
that happen? Like when you had kids, what did you feel?
Well, see that when a guy meets a woman.
Oh yeah. Right,
so,
basically, this is that the birds and the bees. And how he is. No, I'm saying, how did it happen? Like after you had kids, and then like reality sets. Like, what do you do after that?
I got to get a job. One, because wrestling. My first year of wrestling, year and a half, I didn't get paid a dime. Sheesh. I made no money. It was just all the wrestling school, and we had shows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you take apart the ring, load it in the truck, drive, unload the ring, put the ring back together at the school.
Right.
And then, you know, like that was your night. Your night was done when the ring was set up back at the school. And you'd be getting home at 2 in the morning.
Right.
Yeah. After a show. So you had to wrestle and then do that, load it. So I was doing that for like a year and a half. And then still had like little odd jobs here and there. I was thankful. Like I still made a little bit of money on the side because I was a military. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to do my drills. And every time I would go do drills in Pennsylvania, I would go see my daughter. Mm. It was my oldest at the time. And me and the mom wasn't seeing eye to eye. We had a lot of battles back and forth. So there'd be going months where I wasn't seeing her and I was on the road and things like that. But then like, that built up a lot of callous in me, because if this is the worst, I can handle that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If this is the worst that this gets, it's only going to get better from here.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this. And that's when I knew internally, it's like, I'm not dead. I'm not like, I have all my limbs. I'm healthy. I have this. It was honestly like being stranded, but you still have tools.
Yeah, right. You have tools to survive.
I can still make something.
You can make something.
Yeah. I can still makeshift things to preserve myself and progress forward and get to where I need to go. Right. I still can get to this destination and I'm not dead. And that's how I kind of like, okay, I know this connect. I got this guy. I got this. I can use this car. Mm-hmm. If I trade this for that, mm-hmm. I can get this. I have enough money to pay for that. I can see my daughter here, you know, a Ford formula for mm-hmm. her.
Right.
But I got to be here in this morning, at the 6 a.m. in the morning.
For me to get this money yeah. in order to do this.
So it was a lot of like just balancing and like, yeah. So yeah,
it's like that Dr. Seuss. It's like standing on the ball with all the plates and all of that
I
stuff.
Had it was a lot head, like, of that, man. It was yeah. a lot of just like, and that's a lot of friends and family that was that didn't necessarily understand, but they cared,
mm-hmm. right?
And they knew I wasn't out in the streets. I wasn't like
doing negative stuff.
Yeah, I wasn't doing anything wasn't bad. It was always positive, good stuff that I was doing.
Right.
So I had support,
right?
You know, and that's how I kind of like progress forward until I was able to like do this on my own. Right. Like, I got it. Thank you all. Right. I don't need you guys anymore. But if you need me, I'm here.
Yeah. I'm here right. to help you now. Now yeah. the tables have turned.
Now I can give it back.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but yeah.
And you're very big on that, which I admire. And I think that's one of the things that we connect on the most is
for sure
is our willingness to give back.
You yeah. know? It's must, man. That's community.
Yeah.
You know, that's like people look at these success stories of like LeBron and his mm-hmm. people and all this stuff. It's like, well, they stayed together,
yeah.
and you know they gave to each other. You know,
like, right?
And you push the hot person,
right?
Whoever's a hot hand right now, like
yeah.
no, Geese, yeah,
get him, yeah, 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 let's go, push him up,
like, let's get him, let's get him.
Yeah, there's times where like, there's times where TZ is the hot guy, and you've been there, you've seen that. Like TZ, you hot. What do you want to do? We follow behind you.
Yeah, we right? push
like,
you.
Like, I'm the big TV wrestler star guy, but like TZ, you're hot. I'm playing. I'm feeding you.
Right.
You know,
facts.
Like sometimes Sai got the hot hand on a music video. I'm like, Sai, you got it. You cooking right now. Where do you need us? Where do you need us?
Right.
What can we do to help you get do what you need to what you need done?
Right.
In the best way possible. There's no egos
at all.
Right? Like I like don't let all this
because we all win.
Exactly. No, because it's the team. The team to win the championship. I want to win a championship. I'm not here to just.
I could drop 10 points in the finals. As long as we win.
Yeah. As long as everybody gets. We all get the ring.
There's people that want a hot dog and they score 60 points and then lose the game.
Lose.
Right. And then be looking crazy in the end. And we all. Now the whole team. All the team members are like. Could just pass me the ball, bro. Yeah. But your ego wouldn't let me just lay it up.
You could have just played defense, right? If you would have guarded that corner in the end.
That's all you had to do, dog.
To do.
Yeah, play your part.
We trained and did all of this for so long, and then that's why. Like, remember you were saying the hot moment? Mm-hmm. Right now, you're smoldering hot. What did I do? What did I say? I said we have to do the video. We have to give the people what they want. Mm-hmm. They want the video. They're not asking for it, but they want it. They're saying they need to see. What's going on? Nana was a key component when he did that dance. When he created, had to give Nana his flowers on air right now. Nana, I appreciate you. That was a major move for you, seeing that and seeing that, like, that was an edge there. You caught that. You caught that where it was at. It was perfect timing. And then now we're going to give something very special to y'all that is going to this music video is not a regular music video. This video is a short film. In a way, and
which was his idea,
very special,
right?
Which was Flash's idea, and I was like, I don't see the vision yet, but the more he laid it out, the more I just let him just like do your thing, do what you do, and I'm back, I'm sitting talent, I'm not mm-hmm. putting my hands and controlling everything. No, this is you, do it, boom, and I sit passenger and watch him drive,
right?
Swerve when he drives.
pun intended.
but
we got some,
and that's trust too. I trust. Like everybody trusts each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody trusts each other's process. Everybody trusts each other's profession.
Right.
Everybody trusts each other as people.
Yep.
Right. It's major. It's kind of strange because we all kind of did that like right away.
It was just natural though.
Very natural.
It's organic.
It's organic, and then now I just can't wait for the future to show everybody. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we do behind the scenes that no one gets to. see or hear, but you just get to see the celebration.
That's good.
You know, in the end.
Because a lot of times y'all won't even trust it. Y'all won't trust what we're talking about. Right. You just see the finished product.
You'll see.
You'll see it. Yeah. You'll see it. Then you'll be like, whoa, where was I? You was hating. That's what you were doing.
I'm just you was hating. That's exactly what you was doing. You was blocking the love. You was blocking the love in your heart. You got the love in your heart. Let it out.
Let it out.
Just say you love it.
Share that love, man.
Don't be mad. Why you looking? Why your face all screwed up?
You know what's crazy? Y'all social media people, they be trying to like divide us too. They be like, Nana's taking a lot of the heat. Then he's like stealing a lot of Swerve Shine. I'm like, no, he's not.
Right.
He's enhancing me, and I'm enhancing him.
It's a unified front.
It's a unified thing, and like they're just, you know why? Because there's no other manager out there doing that.
Right.
There's no other manager out there replicating or getting that kind of feel.
Uh huh.
Like Nana does, and getting that reaction. So therefore, it's wrong.
Right.
I'm like, no, it's not. It's just unique.
Right.
It's unique and it's different.
And let him do something that's unique and different. That's
no, they
hard.
Can't. It's hard for them to receive different and new and unique.
Of course. Yeah,
they can't receive it. It's like being pushed into a cold pool. When you get pushed into a cold pool, it's what shocking. Do you do? You're like, oh, shit. That's what you do when you go in the pool.
You got to sit in that pool for a while in order
calm
to,
down.
To become one with it. And
yeah,
like, now
become one
out,
with what you're seeing.
Yeah, right. Now it's change of environment.
And now the environment's changed.
It's shocking the system a little bit.
But that's the gift and the curse of being an innovator. It's what happens when you're an inventor. It's like playing. Remember that Lego movie? Remember that Lego movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that movie.
So you remember the guys that was able to build out like that?
Uh-huh. Yep.
What happens to those guys? They're just the guy. You're just the guy. You see what I'm saying? You know exactly how, that's pun intended, you just become the guy. And then once you realize the guy is the one, then you're like, oh, now you're like, can you build for me your world? Yeah, we've been building worlds in front of you guys.
Yeah. You lucky I don't charge you double.
Right. Double for building. We build worlds.
It's so hard in the beginning.
So let's transition, bro. Today is Drake Day, October 6th.
Oh, yeah. He dropped
He dropped For the Dogs, or All the Dogs. All Dogs Go to Heaven, whatever you want to call this album, man. I gave it a listen. At the gym too.
What'd you think?
I don't know if the Drake album is what you want to listen to in the gym while you work.
No,
I really don't. But like the first half of it,
mm-hmm.
And you were more plugged into the industry than ever. You probably be.
Shout out to my boy Aubrey. Shout out to TV Gucci. Shout out to my guys. Drake did a number. He did a number on that.
There was some rapping on there. I was like,
He was going.
What did he say? I texted to somebody. I was like, hold up, wait a minute. Is he spitting? He said, He said, "Game got away from the bars like a prison escape." That was the J. Cole verse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But right. Cole and him, the tag team that people, they do an album together, it's over.
Oh,
fine. I'll just tell you that.
And then Drake says something like, "Your girl in the bathroom laying down white lines like a premises."
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that was pretty hard.
Yeah, now you're going beyond. He's going bar mania. He's going bar mitzvah. He's going bar mitzvah.
Them first eight tracks.
He's
like,
up on top of the chair and they carry him.
He's
carrying him through
that. And then the second half turned into Scorpion feels for me and Certified Lover Boy.
I'm not mad at
vibes.
I want to vibe out.
I'm not mad at 10 tracks.
No, because you're looking for the dogs. You think For the Dogs is like, you got to understand, females are dogs too. So that's where he was trying to get to with that. You're not looking at it. Females are dogging dudes worse. My best bar he had in that was, I said, "What he said, would they ever give me flowers? Well, of course not.
Yeah.
They don't want to have that talk because it's a sore spot.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth. Yep. And that's how I feel in my soul, and that's how I feel about a lot of these guys. And then I get mad when people don't do it for my friends.
Right.
When I'm watching it and I know what you guys are doing, then I get angry.
There's messages. The message is there, like, on everything that he's, like, the content's always been there. Drake's always never been, like, it's just, there's no growth of content, in my opinion.
He does this every time. You know it. You have to live with the Drake album. Like, he builds albums, they always grow on you, like moss. You feel me? You know, like moss, it will.
My only problem is, I can listen four albums back and get the same vibe and feel for this one.
You feel like there's no innovation?
Drake is actually very smart with this. He doesn't really go on current events too much.
Right.
He doesn't really focus on outside of his world and bubble.
Right.
All of his albums are taking us into his world and his love affair
and
things
that
he sees and his friends and his great hardships and stuff. Or things that he's noticing. It's not really, he only talks from his perspective. He doesn't really come from other perspectives. Or like talking like the broken child on the corner, like a Pac would,
right?
You know, growing up hungry,
right?
You know,
Or talk about consumerism like Kanye.
Correct. Or right. Kendrick, like talking about family members. And,
right.
You know, there's... He doesn't really go through pain. He has one
he gave
note.
Us, he gave us one he, on he, a, the Away From Home.
He has one note in pain. Yeah. You feel like he has very one note in pain.
But he's the people's champ. So it's like, it's he, also, you're it's dealing
also,
with that.
He's also the victim of a lot of content.
True.
Oh, he's the sure. victim of a lot of content, which I want to go through you on. Do you think Marvel right now is in the victim stage of a lot of content? At this point, which I
from
can't,
my, from
I,
my
I,
opinion as yeah. a consumer,
he's very opinionated.
Which,
of
yeah, I'll tread lightly because you never know
what's going to happen in the future. And
I don't want to get you in trouble with the Marvel, but like, do you think like I try to find a way to word this? do you think right now there's another wave of heavy hitters with Marvel coming? Show or film? Or do you think they're still heavy hitting right now?
I think we're at a lull right now. I think we're all waiting for, especially as like fans of the IPs that they have in mm-hmm. their vicinity, and hearing with them owning Fox now and hearing what's to come. Mm-hmm. I think we're all really waiting for X-Men.
Yep.
We're all really waiting. Yeah. We're waiting to see what the new Avengers look like.
I'm honestly waiting for the next Avengers we're talking about.
I'm waiting
about.
For Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
Yep.
Yeah. We're waiting for that.
I'm telling you, me and Guy was just talking about that in the car earlier. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tobey Maguire is leading that. I'm telling y'all.
All right. That's the Prophet Flash. So
Tobey Maguire is leading that.
I don't know where he gets his information, but I'm going to trust it.
Yeah. You want to know why?
He's got Kevin Feige's number. You know he does.
Nah, hey, look, I'm going to tell you. I know he got
Elon Musk's number.
No, the main reason... Subjective. Very
subjective. Look, the reason why we in X right now.
Yeah, the reason. Look, the main. This is what I'm thinking, and I'm gonna tell you why. You can tell me why you think whether he isn't or whether he is. So I think Toby is in it because of the whole thing about Secret Wars is gonna be based the post Loki.
Okay.
So post Loki, we're in Loki now. You gotta watch. Right. It just started. First episode came out. Yeah. I didn't see it yet. I would love to watch it. Maybe we should watch it together. And so basically I'm thinking that where he has to assemble Avengers that are not from different universes right. that doesn't ring the alarm to Kang. When Kang knows everything, remember the other Spider-Mans, there's Spider-Mans that have died in other universes.
Yeah.
The only one that seems like was a little f***ed up is when Toby went into that universe. You get what I'm saying? And then who else that he had you feel like that would be carrying? Wolverine?
I think Daredevil.
Yeah.
You need Daredevil for Secret Wars.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Wolverine. I'm saying Hugh Jackman. I'm saying Ryan Reynolds. Deadpool.
You gotta revive
I'm
them.
Saying. I'm saying.
This whole multiverse. Spider-Man. I ain't gonna lie.
Daredevil.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm a little multiversed out.
Right.
It's because. But the Secret Wars is nothing that we can do.
They're not building anything with it, so it's kind of like.
Are they not?
Well.
I think that they are now mainly because
they're building. Look, we're not going to know what they're building to until we see it.
Yeah, you're not going to know, but like Kang is Jonathan Majors is setting up for the Conqueror. Kang the Conqueror is really here to conquer.
Mm-hmm. Let me take it back. Okay, we know they're building something with Kang,
mm-hmm.
right?
But Kang has already been defeated like multiple times. Well, I won't go what he was defeated by. But,
yeah, no, but that main, you thinking, that's the beef my brother had. Yeah. That Supreme Kang or whatever, was that the Supreme Kang we were seeing?
No.
That was not Supreme.
No, the post credit scene showed all those Kangs.
Yeah, and so they showed that Kang, the Kang in the suit, our main big Kang.
Yeah.
How do we know if he's dead?
Kang.
How do we know if he's dead when he got sent back? He got sent back into that world. That doesn't necessarily mean he's dead.
Well, I just want, like I said, I'm multiversed out. The best multiverse movie I've seen in the past couple years is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I'll give you that. That was the best movie.
Multiverse done right. That's what I expected. Doctor Strange to be.
Yeah, but Doctor Strange is more of a horror movie. They were trying to push.
Sam Raimi, baby.
Yeah, that was Sam Raimi. They were going for
that. It was very Sam Raimi.
Yeah, I mean, I never got a jump scare in a.
I just think we got a jump scare in that movie. We're at the beginning of
what
we got before the first Avengers.
Yeah,
that's what we're getting right now. They had to rebuild after Endgame.
Are you excited for Deadpool?
Always.
Okay. Yeah. Always. I'll always get a Deadpool. You know that you're going to get a Deadpool movie, and it's a hard R.
Yeah.
No, it's a hard R for sure. It's hard R. Yeah. I mean, they're going Logan. Oh, like this is before Logan. Is before Logan, right? No, this is after Logan.
This is after Logan.
After Logan.
So, but didn't he die?
No.
This is before Logan. This is pre Logan.
Before it has to be pre.
Yeah, this is pre Logan.
Now. I'm not Mr. Marvel, bro. Yeah.
Captain Marvel. Now we're getting a little messy.
Yeah, y'all gonna get me in trouble.
You see how everyone's like a little confused about like the timeline.
Oh, so is this what he said about the multiverse?
Thing too is that it's like everyone's a little confused about like what exactly is kind of lining up.
Right.
Ask Mrs. Time. She's gonna help us. Mrs. Time will help us.
And it really started doing that when Black Widow was really that delay really kind of set things out of whack.
Right.
With the time.
Right.
Chronologically.
But I'll tell you what messed me up with the whole Gamora thing.
Yep, that did too.
Yeah.
But all praises due to Guardians 3.
Guardians 3 killed it. Killed it.
Great movie. I never felt emotionally like that to any Marvel movie.
Man, that's another person who gave me really good flowers, James Gunn.
James Gunn?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, man, he's, if you read the scripts, he has the songs in the script that he's going to use. Ooh. And so you hear it in your head as you're reading through the scenes. And I just remember him giving me, he was talking to the stunt coordinator, Tom Harper. Shout out to Tom Harper. He was the guy who gave me my first shot in Captain America Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. He was like, can we use Gi here? He's like, well, we just use Gi over here. He's like, all right, so is there anybody as good as Gi that we can use?
No.
And that was based off the character.
No.
And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And he wanted to put me in everything, every spot that he possibly could. And I was like, I gotta put myself up now, and I gotta really make sure I'm doing these acting classes right. I gotta find a way to get an agent that's gonna get me into this and the third, so I can get in front of these guys more so as a stunt guy, more as an actor.
More as an actor,
exactly.
Right?
And talk about that transition. How many guys have really made that big transition from stunt guy to on screen?
There's like two of them, man.
Yeah. It's not big ones, but like one guy biggest, that they know about.
The one that everybody knows is Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Jackie, yep.
That's the biggest one.
I thought Scott Adkins was gonna be that guy, which he's
done deserves
a lot of,
it.
Yeah, he does. He's incredible.
Right.
Which, the Boyka character, he got his own movie. It's all got his own spinoff movie.
Right.
But man, I thought that we was really going to see him like really transition.
It would have been
like,
tight to see him actually be a Batman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. I would like that more than
he did play.
But I'm not going to slander him online. But I didn't care for that at all.
I was there when he was not caring for it.
Yeah. I don't even want to say his name. We don't got to talk about it. Batman. I'm cool.
But then there was like he got that role in John Wick in the fat suit.
Yeah,
like,
that was a great role for him.
I didn't realize that.
That was Scott Adkins. Yeah,
that's Scott.
Oh man,
that's dope.
Yeah,
that was a big part.
Yeah. Chasta House
was huge to me.
Genius for that.
That was huge.
That was genius. I didn't know who that was, bro.
He's like, man, and it reminded me of like old school Sammo Hung.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, big fan of him.
Yeah, I'm a big 80s Hong Kong era, golden age.
Nah, you messed me up when I saw. Did you watch? You watch Into the Dragon, right?
Yeah.
Of course. All right. So there's a scene I'm watching it in the movie with Gi, right? And we're watching it, and I'm like, I've seen this a million times. Mm-hmm. There's a scene when where he's fighting Jackie Chan. I didn't know it was Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan gets punched as a stuntman by Bruce Lee, and I was like, He was like, yep, there goes Jackie. I mean, I was like, that's crazy.
Puts him in a hammer lock and pulls his head up.
Yep.
Hits him with a nunchuck.
Yep. I remember that.
Crazy. I never noticed that.
Enter the Dragon was inspired me and Aaron Fox going to the school.
Wow.
Oh. That's where I got that from. I was like, Enter the Dragon, going to his school, beating up the guy in this school.
Yeah.
That's what inspired school invasion, the Buddy Wayne Academy.
Yeah, that's dope.
That's tight. Yeah, man.
Yeah, but you see how nerd, this is real nerd stuff y'all nerd seeing. Stuff, real man. Blurred stuff y'all seeing.
And you know, the coolest thing is like we get to take our nerddom and use it for work.
Right.
That's the best.
Yeah, that's the coolest.
It's source material, baby.
It is amazing, bro. Man, I'm going to let y'all riff. I got to use the restroom.
Okay.
Don't cut.
Well, shit. You know. Well, y'all in whose house?
You're in Swerve's house.
Yeah, pinky up. Yeah. Pinky's up.
Good old T.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, so, all right. Like, you named yourself Flash.
Oh, you want, you really?
I want to know. I want you to talk about why you named yourself Flash.
I know a lot of people want to know that.
Why Flash?
Well, in high school, they used to call me Fresh, right? In school, you know, Fresh, for the people that don't know. in Ebonics, fresh people call it, you know, it's people that dress well and stuff like that. In high school, I used to be a well-dressed individual in school. They always call me a bad kid, per se.
I call you a bad kid all the time.
I was bad because I would just not pay attention, but I was really smart. I would get good grades when it mattered, but then I was bad when it came to people telling me what to do.
Bad kid.
Yeah, I just wasn't good at, like, authority, you know what I'm saying? But, like, they'll be like, oh, take your test, take the FCAT, take all these tests, your SATs, and I'll just nail them. Like, without, it seems like I never even studied. They'd be like, how did you know how to do this? I'm just really smart like that, like a real nerd. And then they're like, why would you call yourself fresh? They would call me fresh in school. They started calling me fresh. I never called myself. I never was the self-proclaimed king of nothing.
Right.
So in school, they would just be like, yo, fresh. They didn't know my name.
Right.
So I used to be, just, you know, be the light-skinned dude. They'd be like, yo, what are you doing, man? You got all these kicks, man. You got the academics, man. You got the Mecca. You got, man, you got all of, man. You got Red Monkeys. You got Evisals. I'm like, yeah, my mom used to just make sure I'm in all the J's. And then she goes, yo, I'm like, my senior year, my 11th grade, my boy was like, bro, my boy Teray Reed, that's his name. I never even said that. Shout out to my boy Teray. He's like, yo, your name ain't Fresh. Your name Flash, man. You a real flashy Negro. And I was like, what? Who says that? He's like, yeah, like Flash. Like, you flashy. So you like Flash. That's what I want to call you now. And I'm like, all right, bet. We're going to run with that. And he's like, it's short. And for me, I started going crazier with it. I was like,
yeah.
My middle name is Fly, but my last name is Garments. So it's Flash Fly Garments. That was like my full name. But I'm going like Wu-Tang Clan. You know, the stuff we listen to. I'm like, Belligious. My first rap name ever, I'm gonna drop a bomb on the Swerve City podcast right now. My first rap name ever was Belligerously Bad Genitai.
How do you spell that?
I have no idea. I looked it up. Look, I looked it up on Ask Jeeves. What is your Wu-Tang name? And I put my name, my government name in it, right. And it came out Belligerously Bad Genitai. And I told my brother, I'm like, bet. My brother was like, bro, no one will ever rap that at your show.
BBG, son.
BBG.
The BBG, son. Right. You got BBG.
And then my uncle
was
like,
how do you chant that? Belligerously Bad Genitai.
You can't, because there was all the Wu-Tang members, it had simple names.
Right.
You had Raekwon the Chef. It was always a piece. You had Ghostface Killer. But Ghostface Killer came from Kung Fu movies.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And most of their stuff came from like Kung Fu movies and like, you know, Iron Man, Tony Starks. You know who that is.
Well, what I liked about like Marvel names was like the real person's names.
Right.
It was always the first letter of the first, like they was Peter Parker, you know, Victor Von Doom and stuff like that. That was like, that's clever. And you kind of remember their names forever because of that kind of stuff.
Right. But then they wonder why. They're like, why the garments? And I'm like, the kings and queens wore garments. You know what I'm saying? That's why I got into garments, because Gee brought me to my first Renaissance fair. So then I finally got to see where I even got that adaption in my mind from watching like all of those type of movies that I've watched and stuff like that. And like I just started saying garments, but then my tag, when they hear me say garments before I come out or before Swerve's theme song, me doing that was I wanted to be a superhero. So that's why, like, when you see a Batman or anybody, that's me putting my bat signal in the air. So that's where that came from. That's me, like, letting you know he's coming and he's going to run out. You hear that?
Dope little history lesson.
But then I also thought it would be dope for DJs pressing it. Garment, garment, garment.
I'm doing a thing.
Yeah. You're wrestling against the most.
You know what it's going to be, Swerve? This match is going to be a battle of the yes, yes, Swerve, Swerve. Yes, yes.
We might do that in the match. It might happen. But like, yo, like people don't understand how like I'm a grappler too.
Yeah,
oh, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, they don't know that people, you're all around wrestler.
Like I've grappled with Zack Sabre, hold for hold. You know, I've grappled with John Gresham. You name them, I've grappled with them guys. So like, this is gonna be a fun one. I'm like, I haven't had to get my grappler bag in a while. I grappled with a Wheeler Yuta. That was like my only like hold for hold match. Yeah. I really like with transitions and stuff. So
what city are you going to next?
That's going to be in Independence, Missouri, which is Kansas City.
Okay.
That's on the Tuesday.
You know what I was thinking, Swerve? I'm like wondering. I wanted to talk to you. I'm like, when do we debut this? Do we wait for the pay per view to debut this video?
Oh no, that's gonna be in like late November.
Yeah, so you want to bang him over the head?
We have to hit that on national television.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, and I got a lot of strings I can pull to make that happen. I'm a top guy now.
Ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Put some respect on it.
Put some respect on it.
Jeff Jarrett told me that.
Oh.
Yeah, if you don't believe that, you get hit double in the head J? With a guitar if you don't
JJ?
Believe that.
JJ said
double
that?
The double J.
She's throwing socks at people?
She's been doing that for like months.
That's impressive. Yeah.
We're watching Rampage.
Yeah.
Oh, she knows. She's well aware. That's why she's doing it.
She got
the color scheme is fire, though.
Yeah, it is.
Shout out Marina Shafir. She was a guest on here on the podcast. Fire human being.
She's dope.
Yes, she is.
Oh, she's in the
her and Music Soulchild.
Nice.
Video.
That's dope.
Yeah, the Hustle. Music Soulchild.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. The integration, man. We're doing
integration station.
It's dumb. Nah, with Juice, Zombie Juice, and These Dreams.
Yeah, no, that's
Aaron Fox and freaking Hot Fireman.
Yeah, I had to give you a high five on that because I love that video.
Yeah.
That y'all did.
Man.
That's a real, I had to give you a verbal high five with that. Because that video, the scene of the church and how it looked, and you as the preacher, I'm like, man, this is tough. Because I'm a big music video guy. I'm one of those Rhapsody in the Basement guys. Mm-hmm.
That's why I presented it to you. I was like, all right, I need your eye.
Yeah.
What you feel?
That was
those
tough.
Two videos, man.
Both of those videos are tough. Both of them are two different feelings, but it's like, it's cinema. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not getting bored. My whole thing now is us just bringing cinema to everything.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh God. There's only so many times I can watch people rap at a gas station.
Right.
Holding a brick of money.
Yeah, or standing in front of, like, we gave you a little bit of standing in front of the cars. We will never give y'all that again. I'm just letting y'all know.
That's
the end. We gave you some.
But we got.
But there's a story. There's a reason.
There's
a reason why we're in front of the cars, because they just seen the behind the scenes, so they don't know.
Like, how many times have you asked and shaking in a music video? But, you know, with Work It, there's like a little cinematic.
Yeah, that's a cinematic drive for the reasoning.
No, we gave you some Busta Rhymes, body paint glowing. There too, so it's like there's a lot of stuff, but you know.
But I mean, you're an actor, so I mean, I don't know if they watch, but my boy is in a movie with my boy. Shout out to Matthew Hirsch. He put
Should
him
be
in
here tomorrow night.
Yeah,
filming.
Yeah,
next podcast.
You know what I'm saying? He's in a movie. Yeah. He's in a horror movie that's doing extremely well on. I mean, it has a lot of awards already. It's doing.
Yeah.
It's doing very well in a horror.
You Promised is but the entire it's in it. It's part of an anthology.
Yeah. Shout out to Sam Gonzalez, great.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Director. Tremendous person.
Super talented
individual guy that I was meeting in L.A. Mm-hmm. We went to the premiere of it. Man, so much.
Had Getty and everything there. My boy is a real actor, so don't be surprised when you. Don't look surprised. You know what I'm saying? Pun intended. You know.
Right.
Man,
What's some tropes in films that you're like tired of seeing? Like, we need to just get out of there.
Oh, you're gonna tell. Oh, he's about to go in.
Like, all right, you get in, you're like,
oh man,
again.
He's about to go in.
It's so hard because, like, we all like spoiler. No, there's no such thing as an original story anymore.
No,
it's just
anymore.
How you tell the story, right?
Right.
I hate telegraph stuff. When you can tell, like, oh, this is where he wins.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is where the guy gets the girl.
Yep.
Like the running and the I love you so much and I need you and I'm confessing my love to you after I did the thing that hurt us, that separated us, that was stupid anyway, that all we had to do was talk about, but nobody wanted to talk about. And
let's prolong plot.
Yeah, right.
I'm really tired of it.
Say, like, and also, like, a big thing that happens in the action world is, or the action film world, is how they treat action. We treat action like it's just a thing to get us through a time slot of a film, right?
Nah.
This is where we fight.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, but they just fought and we got nothing new from that fight.
Nothing was resolved.
Nothing new came up. Mm-hmm. As an audience, every scene you're watching has a purpose. And what is that scene doing in terms of what it does for the movie? So you have to treat the fight scenes the same way. And
I don't think we gotten that since like Kill Bill. Like the feeling of a fight, of purpose of it.
Right.
When it happened, we was like, yes.
Because you're
fight.
Caught up.
Happen.
But you're caught up with the energy of it. Like, oh, this is exciting. This is time to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. Like, why? What are we going to learn about the character? What happens to Swerve at the end of this fight that we didn't have in the beginning of this fight?
Which will take him to the next fight.
Right.
Why?
What pushes him? And that's because we confuse action sequences with fight sequences. Action sequences is just a point of showing this guy do this thing. Where a fight sequence, a fight, is supposed to change the character, change the story, add something to the story. So we're now, for some reason, we're getting at this point where they're kind of overlapping each other. Mm-hmm. And now we're losing a bit of the storytelling aspect of the fight.
Yes.
And then you just burnt out.
Yeah.
Like, I one thing I'll never forget at the end of Bruce Lee's fight with Chuck Norris was, like, the neck break. And you can see, like, him, something, it hurt something inside of him.
Yeah. He didn't want to do that.
It was rage, but then it went to, like, sympathy,
right?
Like, I just had to kill this man. It was either him or me,
right?
Man, I'm sorry I had to do this, and that just like fire and rage all in his face. Went to like, oh my god, I'm sorry,
right?
But that's the shit that you were just telling me earlier this week. It was acting without any words,
right?
They don't do that anymore. It's hella dialogue, like purposeless dialogue.
But then you have those actors that can do that, right? Like the father, the guy who, I forgot his name right now, and I'm so upset I don't have his name right now, but the guy who played the father in Shang-Chi.
Oh, yes.
He's known as being the dude that acts with his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to convey every emotion that you need with just looking at you. Looking at the camera, looking out, and everybody seeing you, and that's what's really about. Mm-hmm. There's so many things that are said without saying.
Well, in the whole opening of Shang-Chi, it was being narrated, and he wasn't giving you dialogue. It was just his face.
Yeah,
it was his eyes. It was like, and that's the day I met your father. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, he told that whole story of it was a love story.
Yep.
With his eyes, a whole mini movie
with action.
Yeah. Right.
By the end of that fight. He fell in love.
Right.
Which made him stop fighting.
Yep. And the death brings him back. And then, you know. And
it was beautiful. I was like, laid it out. Like, there's a lot of underrated tones in those Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah, but it's the vision of you guys that do that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like Chris.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Chris Cowan, by the way. He's one of my closest buddies. He was one of the action directors for Shang-Chi. You've seen his work in Han Solo. You've seen his work in The Kingsman 2. He is one, and he's a brother, which is dope.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
brother
we came up on the indie circuit together. Like, you guys have an indie world. We got an indie world.
Yes, we do.
You know?
That's why I say these entertainment industries run very parallel. There's an indie circuit in music, circuit in comedy.
Yep.
Like, it's all very parallel.
And they don't know, we're the first ones that will bring these worlds together. This is what's happening, y'all are seeing. Y'all gonna see big feature movies. You're gonna see blockbusters. You just keep this video and watch this later on, and you'll see
the Prophet Flash has spoken.
Stamp on this. Well, we got about like maybe 5 more minutes left, and I'm gonna bring up a question that you brought up at dinner. In Seattle, Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon, who had the better cartoons?
Oh, because he's wearing my man wearing the
shirt right there.
He does.
Yeah, what's the chances of that?
Yeah. I was like, we got to hit him with the Nicktoons. I say Nicktoons had an all-star cast over Cartoon Network.
Easily.
Oh, man.
But Cartoon Network really controlled my life, a lot of my life, because Space Ghost Coast to Coast, there was a lot of stuff that really...
Brack.
Yeah, that was like heavy. Right.
Brack was hilarious.
He was beatboxing. Yo. People don't understand.
But man, if you go like the Nicktoons were loaded.
Yeah. I mean,
the facts. Time slots were loaded in Nicktoons. We had the Rugrats, the Dugs, the Angry
Rocket
Beavers.
Rocket Power.
Yep. Huge.
Huge. Crazy.
Then you go into like Cat Dog.
Hey, Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy's. The Hey Arnolds,
they had different levels of
Fairly
types
Odd
of cartoons
Parents
too for you.
Oh man, Fairly Odd Parents was dope.
Danny Phantoms,
Dexter.
Yep.
No, Dexter's Cartoon.
Oh, Dexter's Cartoon Network. Wouldn't that make you? I think that was their answer. I think that was their answer to a lot of their cartoons.
Oh yeah, they were.
Dexter was like an answer.
Powerpuff Girls was big in Cartoon Network. But they were battling, man. They were battling for years.
The 90s, early 2000s was
Stick
a great
Stickly.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, Stick wow. Stickly.
Stop it.
But see,
it's
so hard for me because, like, if I say, let's get rid of Cartoon Network, that means I get rid of Toonami.
You can't get rid of Toonami.
I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm just saying Nicktoons.
You said which one would be better.
Does Toonami count, though, as cartoons?
Because
like
Toonami.
If we're talking cartoons.
I mean.
I'll say Cartoon Network is more affiliated with a Boomerang.
Okay.
Than it was Toonami. Mm. Me personally.
So like Scooby Doo, we get rid of Scooby.
That's a Cartoon Network.
Jabberjaw.
Yeah. Yep, there you go.
Yeah, I would get rid of Jabberjaw. I get rid of Jabberjaw, but Scooby Doo is a hard one.
Kabong.
SWAT Cats.
SWAT Cats. Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
There you go.
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, yeah.
Bugs, Daffy.
That's Looney Tunes, though.
Yeah, that's all Looney Tunes, but that's Warner.
That's Warner. That's Warner. That's Warner.
Because, like, you got to separate, like, the Warners from the Disney's, from the Cartoon Network.
You're saying Cartoon Network originals versus Nickelodeon originals.
All right. Fine.
So you can't go like
I gotta go Nick.
You can't go Huckleberry Hound. And
you
stuff
you
like
got
that.
You can't. Yeah, you can't. You're right.
And right. Speedy Gonzalez. You can't. Yeah, that's all the
yeah Wacky Racers.
But where would those go if Cartoon Network wasn't around?
That's real though. Yeah, Cartoon Network did like keep those around.
No, because Cartoon Network controlled the IP for them.
Right.
For that was the reason I knew like who they were.
Right. And they refurbished some of them. They're like, yeah, let's scrub this back up. You know.
They did. I think they redid Scooby Doo to death, and it needs to just
man. Pup Named Scooby Doo is my joint though. I don't care.
We gotta let that joint die.
What was Darla?
Yeah,
Daria.
Daria. Yeah. What was
that? Was MTV.
That was MTV, bro.
That was all the way over. That was a mature ass show.
Yeah, that was.
That show was for the teenagers. No,
yeah, that and then Doug was the first ones to introduce me to depression.
Truth.
Facts.
And equality, because everybody
think about that. See, you never thought about that, did you?
Diversity.
Yeah, Doug was depressed.
That's why he's in his room drawing, making all those.
How long are you going to holler at the same girl? When Roger was definitely getting the skins. He was definitely getting.
Roger Klotz was.
Meanwhile, Skeeter is trying to figure out how he can get in on Patty on the low.
Right.
And that's his man's. He was doing.
I missed that show, bro. Man. I was an Angry Beavers fan, though.
Oh, me too.
Angry Beavers was
All Real Monsters. Beavers.
Whoa, that's a bomb! I Real Monsters. All Real Monsters. Bomb.
Facts.
We would have never got that Monsters Inc. I think if we didn't have
that's
Real
true.
Monsters.
That's true.
I'll give you that.
I definitely feel like that's
the live action. Okay the live action. But see, Nick also had live action shows.
Oh yeah.
He's Scared of the Dark. Goosebumps.
Keenan and Kel, all that.
Keenan and Kel, all that. Guts.
Ooh. Like, Double Dare.
That's something the Cartoon Network could not go up against them with.
What was the Temple one?
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Then
you know you wanted to be on that.
So
you know you wanted to be on that.
I wanted to be on Guts.
Hey, as an adult right now, if they allowed us to be on Legends of the Hidden Temple, would you be with it? Us three right now.
I always wanted to be like, oh,
yeah, what?
Yeah.
So if you had to choose, what happens
my 30-year-old ass, I'd be like, shut up, kid.
No, what happens if they said, grown-ups. What happens if they said it's a grown-up version of it, but it's either we could do Legends of the Hidden Temple, Guts, or Double Dare. Which one are you going
to
choose?
Guts. You got like Guts. You have to have adults on.
Guts.
Because like on Legends of the Hidden Temple, like let them oogie boogie dudes come out and try to fight like Bobby Lashley. Like, no,
get out of here. Yeah.
They ain't coming to like Mush. Trap him and bring him inside of a temple.
Swear hits the dude that boo boo hit him with a house call.
Like, no, I hit the Bruce Lee. Get away from me. I'm grabbing the monkey head, fool. You ain't doing nothing about it. Slide it in, boom.
Slide him in.
One prize. I'm going to Bermuda with my family for a weekend.
Prize.
Yo.
That's nice.
Yo, I won $5,000 once on Deal or No Deal.
What?
Yeah.
You was on Deal or No Deal?
Yo, what?
I need this footage, man.
It was funny.
He hides a lot of footage, guys.
He does.
Wayne Brady called me Gus.
Your name was Gus on there?
That's why he kept calling me Gus. Because he only read like the first two letters, so he assumed it was Gus. Yeah, I won $5,000. He's like, I gave you $5,000. I'll call you what I want.
You know what?
You are right.
Yeah, you got it.
You know, if there was one game show I would have been on, if I could have chose, Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, what?
I would have loved to have been on Supermarket Sweep, bro. Because I was a foodie. I was a fat kid, so I would have I would have been on one aisle the whole time. Chips, cookies, gummy bears, this, Snickers, this. I'm like, you know, you got to go get the frozen turkey and Snickers, this, cereal bars.
That's the most Graham crackers.
But they had a show like that on Nickelodeon that was for toys. Y'all remember that?
Oh.
They did a supermarket type of style thing for toys. Remember that? And that was like, if you get it was a parent and a kid, and whatever you get you could keep but if you do not complete fill your cart with all the stuff at the time that the buzzer hits, you can't get nothing. Remember that?
Wow.
And there was kids that would win, and I'd just be like, bro, there's no way that this dude is winning, bro. Like, he'll come up and be like, look, mom, I got all of this. And you just be like, bro, you back. Didn't choose not none of the Power Rangers, bro. Like, you not him.
Dang. Yeah, so, well, this episode just exposed how big of kids we are.
Oh, yeah, we big ass kids.
And in keeping that little childlike wonder in our hearts is what made us the men we are today, fulfilling our dreams, living our dreams to the fullest extent of media, of entertainment, the biggest you can go with myself in the pro wrestling world. You got Guy DeSilva in the Marvel movie world and Flash Garments in the music world. So that's a little salute to you guys. Give them your social medias or where they can find you and your music and your films and whatever y'all doing.
They know they could find me at Flash Garments on everything. Flash Garments. Garments.
You can find me on Guy DeSilva Green on Instagram. And stay tuned for another episode of Stomach Reacts on CorridorDigital.com.
I love that show. And y'all need to love it too. Subscribe.
Oh, we're about to do a wrestling one.
And guess
what? We're setting it up.
Survey says you'll be there.
Yeah, we have to, because everybody's been asking for it. So, and I was like, I know some people. I know,
you know several.
I know a couple people.
Yeah, Nico has to get a lot of moves done on him.
Let's go. I'll body anybody, any stuntman in there. They'll be flipped upside down like nothing.
Yes.
Got him looking scummy. Anyway.
Scummy.
Be confident in everything you do. Wash your ass and do your homework. We out.
Peace.